not to over personalize this, but I have a pinched nerve in my neck, C6-7, it's collapsed. It's right next to C5-6, which 10 years ago I had operated on because the disc was pushing into my spinal cord, and I was told by doctors at the time that one pothole and I would be paralyzed from the waist down. So I pursued an operation at that time. And they did tell me 10 years later, the disc below was going to start to collapse and you may need help. And I had a doctor in San Rafael who was really, really wonderful, Dr. Sue. And he kept helping me put off the operation because he just felt, you're not there yet. But now as we are entering into the pandemic, the symptoms of that collapsed disc are magnifying dramatically. And he got me to a doctor in Albany who worked on his mother, which was a good recommendation. And they did two steroid shots into my neck to see if that would help relieve the growing headache that I had been having. And not only did it not help it exactly, it actually made it worse. So the experience I have is like a great weight, like 40 or 50 pounds on my head 24/7. And the other night I was sleeping, middle of the night, and I felt something like an elephant sitting on my head. And I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I could not do anything. And I thought, oh my God, this is terrible. It's very scary, panicky actually. And I did everything I could internally to prove to myself that I actually could move. I finally lifted my head off the pillows, kind of got up, and I was able to be something other than paralyzed. But there I was in the middle of the night with all of this amazing discomfort, and I felt absolutely unprotected in the world. I had no local doctors. I had no one I could go to. In the age of COVID, you don't want to just go to the hospital, and what do you say to them exactly? I had an appointment with the doctors in Albany for the coming week. So I just tried to figure out, how do I deal with this? And I'm telling you the story because the answer is very meaningful. I kept remembering this phrase, which was the title of a book that I read, I didn't read, I was aware of when I was in my teens, from the 1950s. It was a book called Physician, Heal Thyself. And I was always very taken by that, because there are all these people who can heal other people, but can't turn it inward, can't do the work for themselves. And so I was lying there thinking, Bruce, you got nobody else. There's nowhere to go. There's no one who's going to help you. Nothing you can do. Work on it. So I just laid there and I started to feel what I feel when I teach you guys, which is this enormous arising of conscious, healing, loving energy. And it just started rising from my chest, and I was able to, I had my hands over my chest and I let them fill with this energy, which is often what happens, and I am able often to direct it outward, and I feel internally when it's directing itself outward toward other people that it is aligning with the need of whoever I'm with. It seems to have unbelievable sensitivity to others and knows where to go and knows the thing that's unattended to, in a sense. And so my hands filled with this energy and I started to move them to the back of my head and started to work on my neck and my head. And I've never felt more cared for, ever. I can't say that it alleviated the situation in any permanent way, but it taught me in the moment, we have resources, all of us, to care for ourselves. You don't have to be a great spiritual teacher to care about you. You don't have to go far to find the energy that radiates out of your chest. If you can go into your heart and just feel what it means to care for you, to care for yourself. Yes, it's good to care for others, and it actually causes a lot of capacity to allow energy to move. But caring for yourself is an essential part of the spiritual equation. We are all wounded in some way. We all have elephants or whatever it is sitting on different parts of us that need to be lifted off and need to be essentially dealt with in terms of what remains. We have pain, we have fear, we have panic, we have uncertainty, we have all of these things going on around us. And if you live in Red Hook, New York, there are not a lot of great doctors in the vicinity. And even if there are doctors 2 hours away, they're 2 hours away. And getting an appointment with doctors today, obviously you all know, is not easy. And so you have to begin to say, where do I turn? Who do I go to for help? Well, you know, spiritually, in a way, we all have each other. You have me, I have you, and I don't know if you understand the equation, but my spiritual dynamic is completely a relationship with your spiritual dynamic. Your need produces flow. I flow based on you. What I'm having to learn and what I'm trying to instruct you with is your need internally can create flow, and you can be available to yourself. You can help heal yourself. It is a real physiological, tactile, feeling-based experience. It's not abstract. It is, everyone has their own love source. I derived, and I've told this story 500 million times, about when my grandmother was dying of cancer and I was 4 years old, and my mother took me to see her for the last time without my knowing that, and placed me on her bed next in her arms, really, and my grandmother hugged me. And I had never, until that moment, felt anything like it. I did not know you could be loved that much. The poignancy of her love for me at that moment has embedded itself into my own being. And much of what comes through me is tapped into through that source. So when I lie there and I feel a need to comfort me, I draw from my grandmother and my mother, who was also a conduit, and I'm able to let that energy up and out, and then I direct it into where it needs to go. Sometimes it's pinpointed, sometimes it's more generalized. But we can fill the atmosphere with this caring energy. We can fill pinpoints in our body, almost acupuncture-like awareness of go here, go there. And the real brilliance of this healing energy that we have is it knows what to do. It's not intellectually driven. It's not something the mind will come out and figure out, but it will operate through the mind, and it will respond through the mind, and it will go here, sit down, don't move, feel this thing, let it open and expand. And again, in my schematic, it feels like love, like a lot of love, oceanic in its vastness, really. And because there's so much of it, my ability to share it, to send it out into the atmosphere, is very real. But the learning to do that exact same thing with yourself doesn't come naturally to most people, and not to me. So sitting there, lying there in the bed the other night, moving energy into these places of great pain and finding not that the pain went away, but that it, they became encompassed in a cocoon of comfort. And that comfort made it bearable. I can do this. I can be with this. The truth is, I have to do it during much of the day. And I do. I just do it because I have to. On the other hand, there are other forces at work that can be helpful. And I will tell you, I'm not sure why this is a medically based talk today, but Rudy very clearly said once, if you have a headache, take an aspirin. And I repeat that for you because we don't have to run to the spiritual side of things, the energy side, to take care of ourselves. If you can, take an aspirin, take an Aleve, take a Motrin. I don't know, whatever those pills are, they work until they don't. I've always taken Motrin and then it upsets my stomach and then I'm kind of at a loss. But now I've discovered Aleve and things like that. And I'm not trying to sell you, you know, I'm going to the drugstore. But I'm trying to tell you there are things you can do in the world and then there are things that don't help and you can jump in and take care of it. You can heal yourself. You are the one that you have. Sometimes we have the benefit of others, meaning nurses, doctors, people who are available to us. But there are times, like the times we're in, that we need help. You know, on one level, we're all in this together. On another level, we are each, all of us, in this alone. When you are alone, you have to take care of business. If you can't go to the doctor, if you can't go to the dentist, if you can't go here or there, take charge. I went out and bought all this tooth tough stuff that Blanche has always been using, you know, these machines that do all this stuff that I never liked, but I decided I better take charge of that kind of stuff because I'm not getting to the dentist and do my part in this game so that we are, so that I'm a participant and not a victim. And we're all participants in a very real, very strange, very unknowable reality. And the only thing we know or can know is that we get very helped by others when we can, and we better find help from ourselves when nobody else is available. Find the cure in yourself. Will it come to a point where it doesn't work anymore? Yes, probably. And I tell you that only because Christ on the cross was abandoned. Why have you forsaken me? So we will get to points where the pain is simply not treatable by us or anything. And I have to say, that's a scary moment for all human beings. Most of us turn into terrorized, panicked beings. Christ, as an example, did something really interesting, which was, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, he turned his attention away from his own horrific pain and suffering, and suddenly, for reasons that are hard to explain but worthy of copying, he thought of others instead. That may be the great teaching. Stop being the source and the center and the egocentric entity and open yourself up to the reality of what you really are, which is all there is. There's no simple truth to any of this. There's no simple teaching. There's only instruction along the way. The instruction here is when there is no other to be of help, you have got to figure it out yourself. You have to. And if you want to learn how to do that, you'll have to sit in yourself and begin the drama of going deeper and deeper until you find the wellspring of care that can support you. And I can only tell you, based on 50 years of sitting, that that wellspring is there. It will come up and nurture you and take care of you and comfort you and love you and do all the things your mother would have done or another, a good doctor or dentist would do. They'll take care of you. And until you can get to the outside mechanism that will work for you in the material world, you have to go to the immaterial, unmanifested reality of your being and let that rise up as the source of care. You're all cared for. You are all in need of healing yourself when there is no other form available. Go to the doctor if you can, go to the dentist, go to the pharmacy, do what you can do. But in the absence of any of that, find your source of healing. Find it. You know, Rudy used to send energy with his hands. In the later years, he started doing touch. He used to touch us and we would all fall on the floor. It was really, really powerful. And over the years, my own, I guess, capacity or gift maybe is energy through the hands. And I can move and direct energy and I can tell, I don't know how, when it's connecting. I've often described it as there's a kind of chord that sounds like ta-ta-ta-ta. When that chord sounds, I know the connection has been done and completed, and then I move on to whoever else I'm working with. But there is a real directive through my hands of energy to other people. I do not think I am unique in this. And if you guys haven't ever worked with this, I've given classes on it before, mudra classes, but I will tell you, look to your hands and just try sitting with them and try touching, separating. Watch what happens in your heart when your hands touch, the incredible joy of touching, and then watch what happens when you pull them apart. There's a little bit of a fear of not being touched, and then there's a kind of spaciousness and something grows in the space between, and you realize even though you're not touching, you're still connected and it's some invisible web of energy. That's how you discover energy. Touch is very specific. Loss of touch is a new entry point into something greater. Touching your fingers, thumb and forefinger together, is one form of energy. Each of your other fingers creates a different energy. And as you sit and try it and practice, you will discover, oh, that's what that is, that's what this is. Each is different. Touching hands in different ways, you can practice trying it, but what happens ultimately is something is directive. Something comes in you and just says, do this. And you try it and you go, oh my God, that is unbelievably connected, powerful. And you separate it and it becomes more powerful. And then you reach out and up and then you move back. And I mean, this, all of these movements have internal ramification. They are energetic form and you can send it outward into the world and you can bring it to yourself. This is called mudra work. I think there are probably books on it, but the problem with the book is that they say, do this and that will happen, and do this and that will happen. My experience of self is self-discovery. Just try it. See what happens when you do this, and see what happens when you do this. See what happens when you do that. All of these things are so potent, and they are so inner-directed that when they work, you are shaping the universe in ways that you really cannot comprehend, but it is like your inner system right here, the whole heart chakra center, all the way down to your navel center, which is intuitive, knows that you are flowering and serving a deeper energy. It is really beautiful. And I teach it to you because, one, you can use it for others, but two, you can use it for yourself. And if you need it, go there. Some of you think of yourself as students and leave yourself in the student mode. Some of you think of yourself as teachers in training, I think. Some of you are already teachers. But we're all servants of this energy. That means whatever label we give ourselves is not as important as what it is we do with the energies that we have. If your energy is available and moves through you and you can touch a person, hug a person, think about a person, move toward a person in a certain way, even going high like that, well, that's too dynamic, but just putting your hands up or doing this to somebody that you see on the street, wow, it's like explosively big. And for me, over the years, it has become very, very potent and very directive. It tells me what to do. And like I said to you, last several classes probably, we have this GPS system in us that tells us at every given turn of our lives, and that can be every literal second, what to do. And that's including where to turn, how to behave with another person, what to do with your hands and your arms and your being in relationship to the world around you. You have the capacity to be a servant of whatever name you want to give it, higher energy, God, the Lord, oneness, totality, the absolute. You have a capacity to serve and to be one with that in whatever way it works for you. It will not work for you the way it works for me. We are so different. And when I work with you individually, the first thing I'm always up against is, oh my God, their energy is like a completely other construct. Completely. We are not built the same way. And yet, at the core, there is something that is one with all of us. And the energy knows how to get to that core. It knows how to bypass all of the constrictions and restrictions and alignments and misalignments in the body and in the mind and go right to the core of our reality. And it goes there. And when it's there, again, da-da-da-da, you know it. And the person who's been touched by it, if they're very conscious, they know it too. If they're not conscious, they won't know it, but they'll walk around feeling better that day and not know why. So we can be this incredible instrument of love and kindness and goodness and health and healing in the world. That's what we are. It's what we can be. It's what we do. And any one of you who wants to align yourself with that, who wants to give themselves over to that, great. Otherwise, just be a recipient. It's here for you. It's here coming through here, coming from Rudy from, you know, a billion miles away. It comes through and it goes out. It goes to you. But it doesn't need to stop at you. Your job, should you choose to engage it, is let it move from you and continue this process. Let it become the thing that fulfills you. And what does that mean? Well, there's a part of that that's talking about ego mind that says, well, I've lived a good life and I did the right things and I feel acquitted of all that I was supposed to do in this world. You want to arrive at a place that feels you did what you were here to do. That's very helpful. But bigger than that, it arrives at a place that announces you are the totality that filters through the molecular reality of you. You are that totality. And as you begin to touch the flow of energy, it is in itself the key to knowing who you are. So finding that energy, using that energy, becoming a conduit for that energy, the real side effect is the realization that you are connected to and one with that energy. It's potent. You know, we're all in this together. And we are all going through something right now. Everyone I talk to individually is in a state of, how did this happen? Now what? I'm confused and I'm scared. That's almost universal. And then there's also people who go, okay, here we are. And they mostly have found that they're in this on their own and they have made peace with, this is what is. This is how it is. I don't know why it's happening like this. It's definitely taking away all the form and structure and familiarity of what was, but it allows you to really marry the energy of what is on your own, because you have to do it that way. It helps collectively being part of a group of people who don't know and are caring about each other, but the real ultimate effort is you saying, okay, I can't understand it. I don't know what to do. I'm in discomfort. I can make myself feel better. I can comfort myself. I can get through day by day by day and find myself joyful in the world, even though it's a strange world. I can see the sun rise up. I can see the wind through the trees. I can watch the birds. I can, whatever your things are that you do, do them, enjoy them. But when you feel you need more and it's not available, then that more has to come from inside. That's the only place it will come from, and you have direct access to that more. You have access. If you go there, you will be given what you need, promise you. But it takes effort, it takes consciousness, it takes will, it takes stopping to do it and do the work. If you do it, you'll be taken care of. If you don't do it, you'll have to wait for the world to care for you, and it's getting to be a very long line to get care. So you're going to have to figure out, what do I do while I stand in line? What do I do? Well, this is what you do. Open your heart, feel the energy, let it flow out, let it flow in, be a conduit for others and for yourself, and walk around in a state of gratitude and a state of grace. And know, yes, we're in it together, but we are deeply in it alone, and we have to figure out how to be responsible for that. Okay, Tara, I think I have to unmute you somehow. Hold on. Hold on.
No, you don't do that. People can unmute themselves.
Okay, thank you. Tara? I can't hear you. You have to put on your unmute button because I cannot hear you.
Hi. Can you hear me? Hi. Thank you so much for this class today. I'm sorry that you're in pain. I have incredible empathy for it because I've been living in chronic nerve pain called trigeminal neuralgia for almost 11 years. And it's been the biggest spiritual lesson of my life, besides my daughter and maybe my family. But I tried all kinds of things and reading books and whatnot. And what you're saying is the only thing that does work. And I feel like I can do that. And now I do it almost innately, not thinking of it, because it's just become part of life. And I can do it best if I'm alone or I'm having a very peaceful existence and if I'm not around other people. But then the minute that I have my daughter back, or just it's so challenging to integrate that into daily drama or upset or conflict or other human beings and their wants, needs, and conflict. And I would love for you to talk about how you have done that so successfully in your life with your own family. Somehow you've managed to have a very calm existence.
I don't think I'm much different than you.
No, you are. You are. I promise you fundamentally are. But I love you. But what's beautiful about what I love about your family that I often wish could be possible within my own is that even when the tensions arise, I watch you. I'm in your family enough, or have been over the last 40 some odd years. And I see how you do it. And I see how you manage your own tension or conflict, and how, even when at Thanksgiving, when it's all of your family and the craziest of your family, and how you manage, it's like you're conducting a class. You sit, you give some energy to this one or that, and you're really, I honor this in you. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to have been so close to you for some years and really have watched you master this. But I'm wondering, with somebody who's not that talented at it, like myself, what are the baby steps to start to do this?
Well, all I can say is walk away from the tension as much as you can. When your daughter's running around, you can't. You can talk to her from a real place and just say, look, honey, I'm having a hard time. Give me a minute or two, and go off and take the minute to take a breath and do what you can. If you don't get the option, then you have to wait till you get in bed at night, you know, when there's time to yourself. you can only do what you can do. The most important thing is, one, don't beat yourself up for what you can't do, because that doesn't help. That just adds to the drama. Just accept, this is what I can do. This is what I am. This is who I am. Some people have great gifts in certain areas and some people don't. If you're not one of the gifted ones, acknowledge that and just say, I'll do this as best I can when I can. I'm available for a phone call or whatever, just to kind of remind you of this. But in the end, you are the one who has to find the way to the peace. Mm-hmm. And I know, because I've known you for 40 years, that capacity. It's just, mm-hmm. Don't give in to the drama. Just recognize it for what it is. See it as it's happening. Find that GPS system in yourself that tells you how to navigate it, and find a way to what I call peace or peace of mind, centrality, acceptance, allowing, whatever it is. It's just, you know, it's really helpful. You know, Dale and I have sleep issues, and I guess somewhere I put out the word, just allow it to be. And now she gave that back to me as just allow. So I lie in bed now with the word allow coming at me as a way of relaxing. And I'm grateful to Dale, even though she's mirroring something I said. And in a way, we each mirror each other, and we find the answer for ourselves. There's no easy exactly in this journey. And if anything, the everything's been amped up into higher consequence right now. We're all in this thing that's like, oh my God, this is really challenging. What do you do when there's a challenge? Well, you capitulate, you live under it and live in stress and unhappiness, or you do the additional work, which is not necessarily muscular, like I have to lift another 1,000 pounds. It's like commitment. It's just like, okay, now I have to do this, now I have to do this, and you do it. And if you do the thing in front of you moment to moment from a place of commitment and stillness and understanding, ask for help inside for the energy you need, it will rise up and you will be fine. You will be. It's you have to do it more often now, because the reality of our lives has shifted so dramatically. Mm. We have to become the surgeons and the doctors and the dentists and the everything else of our life. The massage therapist, the acupuncturist, we're it. How do you learn to be that? Just practice. Just practice.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Julia. You're muted.
Hey. You know, like, what do you do with, you know, knowing what to do for yourself, whatever, maybe exercising or stretching or eating better or brushing your teeth or getting a water pick or, you know, whatever those things are, you know, and resistance to doing those things, like to taking care.
Rudy talked about the real enemy of spiritual growth is resistance. Mm-hmm. And there is a kind of knowing that happens, and it comes up pretty lightly. And if you are attuned, you will hear it and do it. You know, my exercise program is absurd at this point, but I do almost 3 hours of exercise a day on the treadmill, walking outside, bicycling, and stretching exercises. I know I have to do that. I don't fight it. I just do it. I watch TV on a bicycle, so I'm not just sitting still. Part of me would like to just sit back and relax and do nothing. But why sit on a couch and do nothing when you can move your body? And at my age, I know that's meaningful and valuable. I think it's obsessive on some level, but I'm not questioning the directive. It's telling me to do this, and so I'm doing it. The teeth thing, I could feel if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. So I got that water pick, and I got all these different things that help with your teeth. And I know my teeth are feeling good. There's a voice in us that knows what to do, and it comes up regularly, and it's quiet. And if you listen to it, you will be benefited. If you don't listen to it, which is the case of most people, look around you, watch the news, and see what people do who don't listen. You know, even to simple things. I hate the whole corona thing, but not people who fight not to wear a mask. you know, who have all the wrong attitude. I mean, who are so self-centered and egoistic not to care about the larger world. Somewhere in them, there is a voice that says, it's not about you. It's about others. Care about the world. Do the right thing. That voice comes up quietly in most people and is totally ignored. When that voice is ignored, you live the result of that ignorance. You live the result. And if you look around you, 98.2% of people are living a state of resistance to what is, one way or another. And you can feel it in their tension. You can feel it in their choices. You can feel it in how they interact with other people. They are doing the wrong thing over and over and over out of sloppiness, out of not paying attention, out of not listening, not wanting in an egoistic way to have to obey something. You know, so many people, I see them, they're fighting their parents at the age of 60. My mother always said, do this, do that. Oh, I'm not going to do it. So now they're saying, I'm not going to do it. They're fighting something when they were 4 years old. They think they have a voice that's commanding, which they do, but it's a voice that probably should have learned the lesson when they were 3 or 4. On the other hand, some parents gave terrible advice. So learning to have your own inner voice is better. But is it an ego voice, me, 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 or is it I am that voice? Which voice are you hearing? Mostly it takes an awakening somewhere in your life to know that you're full of shit, and you better stop and be quiet and hear a bigger directive. Because if you don't hear it and you don't listen to it, you will be struggling and unhappy and in stress and in deep sadness for your life. And that's everywhere. And I find, because I teach, that I see that in so many people. And if I can dig underneath it and begin to give life to a live, living root system inside that knows the right thing, it starts to vibrate up and maybe given another shot of hearing a voice that says this, and you no longer associate it with your mother or father or your teacher. You just go, oh, that's me talking. And you listen and you do it. It says, get on the bike, go for a walk. You know, do the right thing. It tells you, and you do it, and there's something inside you that feels sort of better. And often it feels like, oh my God, do I have to listen to the voice all the time? It's so demanding. Well, if you don't resist, the demand is not a problem. If you resist, which is an egoistic struggle, then yes, it will be a battle every time. It will tell you what to do, and you will go, I don't want to do it. And that's a horrible way to live. And once you finally let go of that resistance, which is ego-minded sense of being, you find yourself is the very voice that's speaking to you. And that all you have to do is go, okay, and you don't fight it. And it starts telling you all of these different things, you know, like, you know, set the table in my for Blanche in the morning when she gets up so her stuff is there in front of her. I just said to do that. And Blanche was very appreciative of that. And then she told me the other day, you know, I also would like to have a spoon. And a voice in me said, don't you appreciate the fact that there's the plates there and the knives there? And a voice in me just said, well, listen, that is bullshit. Blanche is telling you what she wants and needs, and you don't have to personalize this. Put the spoon there. And this morning, Blanche said, thank you for the spoon. And it just aligned. Everything aligned.
That's cute.
It tells you to do the right thing. And then if you do it, it aligns. That's all I can tell you. And life becomes the life you want to live. And we're all moving in that direction. And the more you listen and the more you follow what it says, the better the life you'll have. And in times like this, where it's such upheaval, you really better listen, because it's chaos is around the corner. And the only thing that prevents chaos is the cohesion of your own inner being. Michael.
I just want to share a virtual hug and kiss for you. And thank you again for doing this and carrying the torch for Rudy. And I also wanted to mention that Bob Sink is so wonderful in that he sends these quotes of Rudy and pictures. If you don't receive them, please do it, because it's just a beautiful service that Bob has provided for us. and reminds us about Rudy. And, you know, anyway, thank you.
I'm not on that list. And if you want to put me on that list, I'm happy to be there.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Quotes of Rudy. Go ahead, Bob.
Actually, that list is on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook. That's okay.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, Nate.
Hi, everybody. It's I missed last week, so it's just really nice to see everybody's faces who we were actually in the room with. I don't know why, but I was really reminded today of how much. Like, yes, I come to see you, Bruce, and at the same time, I was sort of reminded of how much the space is built off of everybody else, and that the collective energy is so important. And so I just felt, I felt very, very grateful. But I was reminded of something when we were talking about hands, and I was doing a play in Poland, and I had broken my foot the week before we left, and the whole play had to change because I had to wear a boot or I was going to be in a wheelchair. And I remember all of the technique, everything I felt like I'd learned went out the window, and I was sitting behind the stage in a state of panic. And my hands started to do the oddest things, and they found this very strange pattern that for some reason I told me what to do. And I remember it was the oddest sensation of just my hand. I think I was just going like this. But it was like it was some sort of answer that I needed in that moment to be able to do the show.
Watch an infant, because their hands are in constant learning mode, and they are everywhere their hands move, they have an inner reaction to it, and they begin to feel it. And much of our inner alignments all come from those movements as a little kid. They're doing all these things, not conscious, but they're doing it, and the hands are beginning to explain to them the nature of the physical. It's really valuable to watch. I learn a lot from kids.
It was just, Bruce? I don't know, today was just so amazing for some reason. I felt like I had this whole conversation we had just sitting the other day of all this self-care and the necessity of it. And I was curious about every time we sit, especially with you, Bruce, it doesn't happen as much when I'm on my own, but there's a very strong amount of heat below my belly button. Like right in that area, and it's usually, it's very tense. It sort of feels like it's holding, and throughout the session, it begins to release itself. But what is that area of the body?
Where your intuition lies, you know, it's a recreative space. It's really important down there, and I do go there a lot for you. It will give you a lot of directive in time. It won't be mind, and it won't be emotional. It'll be knowing. And it really is working. It's really emerging in you. And I spend a lot of time expanding that space.
Okay.
Bruce? It's where the baby grows.
Yeah.
Woman.
Say again?
Dale?
It's where the baby grows in a woman.
That's true. Exactly. Exactly. Who's talking?
Dale?
Dale. Okay. Hi, Dale.
Hi. That was so powerful. I can't seem to, my hands want to move when your hands move, and I have to try to make them stop because you've asked us to sit still. And what it's urging me to do now is to discover the direction that Red Hook is from Halifax so I can direct with my hands, healing, loving energy toward you.
That is very kind. The hand experience ultimately does not become intellectual. It doesn't have thought behind it. It participates in the experience of feeling and knowing. And it will find its way to these things. So directly, intellectually, will be okay,
but okay.
In time it will become something that you don't so much do as follow.
Yes.
When you follow it, it really speaks to you. It teaches, really. I mean, it took me a long time because I would be working with my hands and then they would tell me to do this thing where what's the two thumbs together? And I would go, what? You know, how do I go to, what is that going to look like? And then I just stopped trying to figure it out and I would just do this. And I went, really? And even now, I mean, I don't understand this position, but it is so powerful. And then it would swivel often, you know, into this. I can't tell you, but it knows it, there's a dance to it that is so remarkable and it is very directive. And when you do it, the inside of your psyche, the inside of your being is responsive. And the response is a feeling of such well-being, of such attunement, of such, I am present with the objective of the universe. You can't feel anything but gratitude. I mean, so much gratitude, because for some reason we were put in bodies. Bodies are meant to touch. Human touch is so important, both touching others, which becomes greatly sexual in many ways and brings out some of the deepest pleasures of human experience, but touching the self, which can also be sexual, but can be so many things deeper than that. And so you learn what it means to just touch in the tiniest ways. Healers, a lot of healers, they don't even know what they're doing. They just touch things and they just know they're the right thing to do. We do it a little bit more abstractly. You know, there's an energy experience. It's a sending of something that is innate in us and beyond us to another being. It's touching often without physical touching, but learning to touch and then let go and feeling the energy still there and then sending it out or sending it in is amazing. It's completely amazing. Mm-hmm. And people never try, they never practice, they don't do this thing, but I'm just telling you it's there to be done.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I'm not sure if this is a question, but I'd be interested in your kind of wisdom about it. You know, I was very young. I feel like when I first came to this meditation, there were a lot of things that you were taught by Rudy, mostly by tape and by you and many people. And one of them was about when you feel there's a block. Remember the word block? Just use much anymore. But I must say that later in my life, that principle has become, you know, very clear to me, because I can feel when I don't want to do something or I'm absolutely afraid of it or it's the worst thing that I can imagine doing. And I've taught myself to go, I'm going to go there first right now. Do you know what I mean? If it's a set of tasks and I don't want to do it, I go and do that one absolutely first. And it's incredibly opening, and it's the results are generally so good that I do it now over and over again. But it's related to the discussions we're having here. But I just wonder about your take on that.
It's exact agreement with that. Go toward the block, go toward the resistance, go toward the thing that you don't want to do, because whatever brought that up was an instruction that you're resisting, you're rejecting, and it's there for a reason. Now, unless it's, you know, go kill somebody or rob a store or do something like that, you know, but even that is to be pulled away from. What you try to do is you discover the thing that says do the right thing and you don't want to. Do it and watch what happens. And what you will discover is flow, like a feeling of, oh, I listened and it was right. I did the right thing. And you're rewarded in a way by that. On the other hand, you have to be careful not to work for the reward, because then it becomes quid pro quo. And this is not quid pro quo, it's something else. It's about finally getting rid of all of the kind of machinations that, what about me? To thy will be done. You just start to wash that stuff away and you go toward stuff that resists or is blocked. And Rudy talked about blocks a lot. And I, as a teacher, work on blocks in people, and they're not hard to find. And I go into the core blocks whenever I can find them. And I do, you know, they're all molecular constructions and they all have solid nature, and they all have impermeable quality, but you can go underneath the molecular part. You can just dive in and find the thing that stirs it up enough to break the structure, and it starts to fall apart. And if you do that regularly enough, because what I've discovered in most people is they reconstruct the block very quickly. So often they work with the same person over the course of literal years, and it's always been put back again. There comes a point where they finally go, this is stupid. Why do I live with this thing? And they contribute to your assistance, and they let it go. The great thing about a teacher is not giving up. If you start to give up on someone because they've had a block for 3 decades, then you're not a real teacher. A real teacher keeps at it. And you do it out of love, and because you know it takes sometimes 3 decades, 4 decades or more to break down some of these massive structures that were brought in when we were children, usually. So you have to do the work. And then if you can do the work on yourself, you don't need a teacher, probably, and two, you really take charge. You teach yourself. And that's a really great place to arrive at, because you don't want to be dependent on somebody outside you. On the other hand, you do want to be dependent on that which is within you. And that thing which is within you is the ultimate teacher. It's not, you know, this Bruce Rubin guy, you know, talking all this stuff is really a form of an expression of, especially when I do the teaching, of something greater. I don't own it. I am not that thing itself. I am as much I have great value for the teaching, and I learn from it as well. But at this point, I'm a conduit, and that conduit does what it has to do. And each one of you are benefited by it. But what it's trying to tell you now is do it, because I don't know how long this conduit will be here. And the real conduit that will always be there is in place. You just have to go dig into it and turn it on. You're all bored to death? It's a long conversation. Thank you guys for coming. You know, next 2 weeks I'm in the LA and San Rafael realm, so you really are on your own in a way for the next 2 weeks. I hope that's not too long. I think you all have the capacity to withstand a time like that. Although nowadays 2 weeks is like two millennium. But do the work, stay connected, stay in play. Know that you have within you, every one of you has the absolute capacity to triumph in a period like this. And triumph means to ride the waves, to sit back, to open, say, thy will be done. Heal yourself, find the love and joy and comfort of your own being, and it'll be fine. You will all be fine. You are already fine. So have a good 2 weeks. I will truly, truly miss you. And I love you all. And
Bruce, can I say one thing?
Sure.
I just want to say, for a guy who says he said everything before, and basically every time I come, it's a great teaching. So that's
George, again, if I haven't said it before, it has all been said before, and yet the mechanism of hearing, the mechanism of letting it come in and begin to actually transform us takes a lifetime, and we all know that. You don't do it in a week, you don't do it in a month, it takes a lifetime of work, and in a period like this, the test of the listening is really in play. So listen hard, keep doing it. The reminders will keep coming. There's no blame on not knowing what to do or how to do it. Just keep at it. And I watch the transformations in you, George, and I know it's working. So I love you. I love you guys. And onward, and I'll see you the next time.